live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hour every day is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number to call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. In the north, ESPN Reno audience, 775-766-1400. Monday Night Football back, better than ever with us, Cofield and Company. Willie Ramirez hosting the party here up until the second half. Front Yard is a location right on Koval and Flamingo. Awesome menu. They keep adding to it. Anything barbecue here is going to be great because they got the barbecue joint as well. So give a try to the brisket sliders. Chicken and waffle. I had that two Sundays ago when I was out here for the Yacht Rock brunch with listener Carrie. Turned out that Captain Carrie was running the Yacht Rock brunch. Was a DJ. Big listener, Willie. Loves you. Steak frites. Pork belly bites on the menu. And they changed up the wings. They're now going with a smoked wing. Smoked wing.
We'll let you know how they
and
are. Right,
sweet Mateo? Chili sauce. You guys are going to try it tonight. You and Mateo will take one for the team.
Mateo and I, we take down the menu pretty good.
Griffin is back in the Findlay Toyota Studios.
By the way,
if you
real
do
quick,
want to watch the show live right now, you can go up to ESPN Las Vegas on Facebook and also up on Twitter. Willie?
I got to look at the prizes. Y'all better get down here. We're giving away some great stuff on week one. I'm not just we'll talk about it later in the show, but get down here because we're going to have a good time this week one. Bears Vikings.
Big four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
I just hope you have a game used Phillies baseball because I'll kill for that. I'll murder you.
I know.
I will run so hard in the stands, get the ball, and if anyone comes up to me, I don't care if it's some 5'3", 58-year-old woman, she's getting decked. Well, that kind of happened at a Phillies game over the weekend, and my God, you are not safe anywhere. If you want to, you know, shack the fool, if you want to act like an idiot or a bully, there could be a camera somewhere, and she got caught by the TV cameras. Her name is Phillies Karen, or Philly Karen. And boy, oh boy, is she getting it on the internet. So you want to tell people about the story? Because I really enjoyed watching all the social media, including the morphing of her video. She walks back with the baseball and holds it up.
My precious.
I can't do a Gollum. But they actually morphed her into Gollum.
Here's the thing. It's gotten so out of control that there are people out there that are now feeling sorry for her because of how big this has gotten and where it's gotten to. I think she took it a next step, but if you missed it, I don't know how you could have, but it was, and this took place in Miami, of all places, right? Phillies in Miami, a home run ball, it's hit into the stands, dad walks about 10 seats to his right, it falls to the ground, he picks it up, because the woman didn't grab it, He picks it up, takes it over to his son, it was his birthday, by the way, the kid's birthday. The woman races down the aisle and grabs the man, puts his hand on him.
How about his reaction? A lot of people have actually gotten on him. They're like, what a pansy.
Yeah, well.
Is he supposed to swing on her?
Absolutely
not. I love what he did because he was like, what the hell? Who's grabbing me?
Turn around and she's yelling at later videos, other people are filming it. That's my ball! That's my ball! You can hear her say it.
Stupid Philly, South Jersey.
He throws his hands up, grabs the ball, gives it to her, and shuffles her away. A Miami Marlins employee walks over. Oh, and by the way, other people are yelling at her in a different... She goes out of her row, down across the aisle, into a different row, yells, and as she's walking back and other people are booing, she flips the crowd off.
By the way, got into another guy's face.
Right.
He just laughed at her. I mean, that's two guys she got into the face of. Like, lady, what are you looking for here?
So, Miami Marlins employee comes over, gives the kid a gift bag, and you can hear the audio that's not right. It's unacceptable. We don't approve of that here. And then Harrison Bader, the Phillies, they get wind of it. They invite him down, give him a bat, and it's all is made good. The problem is all of a sudden, internet do your work, and everybody called out. Now, apparently, they called out the wrong person. Whoever they were calling out, had to go online and say, it's not me, it wasn't me.
Wrong picture.
They're calling for her job. She's like an administrator in a school district.
That's not even verified yet, because that school district's like, that woman does not work for the Hamilton School District.
That's what I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, is that this woman who got misidentified, they're calling for her job. And it turns out that both the woman and the school district had to come out and say, no, 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 that's not her. Now, recent reports are that it's a nurse. So the fact that you're going after, you know, her personally, this is where it gets out of control. You want to embarrass her and put her, you know, on blast, that's one thing. But I don't know about going after a job. I don't know about death threats.
Why would she need to be fired?
Right, exactly.
She's an exuberant fan who was mean to a little kid. Let's dial it down a little bit.
She's going
to
be publicly ridiculed is enough as it is. She's going to be shamed. She probably feels like crap as it is when she goes back and looks at the videos and sees the tantrum she threw over a baseball. But you know what? Kudos to the dad. He took the high road, and it all paid off. And the kid got to meet. Hey, if it doesn't happen, the kid doesn't get to meet the Harrison Bader. So.
Number three.
Boy, Bengals were winners yesterday, but I thought they looked just poor. I don't think that exercised any demons with Zach Taylor and the bad starts, and they'd lost seven games in a row in week one and two. It was the second longest streak in football. Meanwhile, it's a good team, a good organization. They have unbelievable quarterback, one of the best receivers in football, 142 yards of total offense, lowest total for Zach Taylor team in 107 games.
Yeah.
And maybe the Browns' defense is just awesome, and I think it is pretty good, but that didn't really alleviate any of the fears about the Bengals underachieving this year again.
I wasn't impressed. It's funny because earlier when you were talking about quarterbacks and you were like, let's just face it, Josh Allen's the best quarterback. Like, the very first thought in my head was, my pushback is, what about Joe Burrow? This is supposed to be his big, and I couldn't because I didn't see it.
They're never going to win a Super Bowl with Mike Brown as the owner, and to a lesser degree with Zach Taylor as a coach. He's screwed for now.
Yeah, the efficiency. I mean, yards per play, that offense, 2.9 yards per play, which when you have the personnel that you do on that roster and you're turning out 2.9 yards per play, division opponent or not, I don't care if you're playing the Steelers, the Ravens, whatever, that is piss poor.
Up next, and we'll see if they can actually get out to a good start here against teams that are a little better. I don't think the Jags are great, but the Jags come to town, then they're at Vikings, at Broncos, home Lions, at Packers, home Steelers. Good luck. They better improve a lot. Yeah. Or they could be looking at like 2-5, 3-4. I'm not going to say 1-6, but they need to play a lot better. Number two.
Number two.
What I saw yesterday with the Steelers and Jets has me upgrade the Jets slightly. In the same boat I am, or I was, with the Steelers. I think they're winning 10-plus games. And I think the biggest reason, or one of the big reasons, is Aaron Rodgers is, I'll say confidently, about 80% of what he was in his prime, which is still a really damn good quarterback. He threw four touchdowns. He had the linebackers and defensive backs for the Jets on a freaking string. His management, his deception was great. He looked really good.
You know, we talked about, you asked the question earlier, did we get the best football game of the season already in week one with the Bills and Ravens? But the fact of the matter is, we got a heck of a game between the Steelers and the Jets. There's really no, you know, you can't take away with what we saw from that, with what they put forth.
I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, Jets fan, relax.
It was so annoying.
Aaron Rodgers was, you know, I was trying to soak up the post-game interview, and you know, it sounded like he was biting his tongue, and he was like, "Yeah, you know, I didn't look at it like revenge, or I was playing my former team. I was just coming out." But I thought it was a promising start, and I thought the Steelers, you know, they still have some work to do with that defense. But you know, the biggest storyline for me with that was Justin Fields. In being able to do what he did, I think he came out with a little bit of a purpose, and I am intrigued to see what he can do and make of this.
Yeah, Rodgers said, "I was happy to beat everyone associated with the Jets. There were probably people in the organization that didn't think I could play anymore, so it was nice to remind those people that I still can." He's right, and they deserve to have a little bit of salt rubbed in the wound. And that said, I was also very pleased with Rodgers going because they needed a fresh start. And if they're going to be a run-heavy team and they can establish a run like that with Breece Hall, and Braylon Allen didn't have a big game, but between Hall and the things you can do with Justin Fields, they have a chance to be a decent team. Now, their defense is expected to be a top 10 or 12 defense. They got to be better.
What about, you know, the big story, one of the big storylines yesterday talking about was Micah Parsons having an effect with the Packers, right? How about the big hit at the end of the game with Ramsey on Wilson, right? I mean, that's a big-time play. That's why you go get that guy.
Saves the game. It was a good acquisition. If he's going to hit and tackle, man, that makes him a much more dangerous player than just a cover guy.
Has to be mentioned as much as if you're going to bring up, you know, these off-season acquisitions like – or the just before the season acquisition in Parsons or those types of pickups, that play right there you have to bring up.
Number one.
All right, let's talk about the AFC West overall. In week one, it started back on Friday with Chargers and Chiefs meeting up. I'll give my grades. I'll give the Chargers a B. I'll give the Raiders a B+. Give the Broncos a C for week one, and I will give the Chiefs a B. So Chargers and Chiefs, they play. Chiefs get caught in the mild upset. They both get a B.
Yeah, I'm going to give the Chargers probably a B+. I'm going to give the Raiders a B+. I'm going to give them both B+. I might lean toward the Chargers. If the curve is high or a little lower, maybe an A-. I'm not giving the Chiefs anything higher than a C.
Ooh.
And I'm going to leave the Broncos. Look, I think Kansas City's defense is a cause for concern. The departures have the secondary visibly weaker. They got some work to do. Steve Spagnuolo has work to do with his youngsters in the secondary. I'm not sure if where this – I was going in saying – I said it Friday. Whoever I can't remember who we were talking to. I was like, hey, until they're dethroned, I am not buying into the AFC West is up in the air. The AFC West is up in the air right now in my eyes just off what I saw because I think that there's cause for concern with his defense. Yes, as long as Patrick Mahomes is that quarterback and Andy Reid is that coach, that's one thing, but this division's going to be tough.
Rashee Rice is down, and they lost Xavier Worthy to a shoulder injury.
That too.
That's, you know, they don't have a lot of depth there. Mahomes can make chicken... I was going to say you-know-what out of chicken you-know-what, but chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. I thought the receivers looked okay. Hollywood Brown had a bad drop. But you know, it's little things in these games, a lack of discipline on that third and 14 play where Chris Jones did not protect the edge. That was a theme throughout the weekend in college and the pros. When you have a running quarterback and you get sucked inside and you don't protect the edge, it can be freaking devastating. And Drew Tranquil was right, the linebacker for the Chiefs. He started yelling at him after the play, and you know, Jones was getting a little froggy, like, bro, just do your job. You're a great player, but you can't give up the edge to Herbert, who potentially can run it, and he did for 20 plus yards and then had the slide and kneel it out. That was a glorious game, though. I'll tell you what, on the home front, there's no one more intense about football than the SO.
Oh, I know.
And when the Chargers started to leak oil, she was like, okay, they're gonna lose again. I mean, they lost seven in a row. The Chiefs in 3-point games or less, decisions by 3 points or less, had won 9 in a row. One-score games! They had 17 straight wins! And that's one of the reasons. Those things tend to even out. That's why that 15-2 record a year ago, you're like, are they going to keep winning at 100% clip all of these one-score games? It can't continue to happen.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island. On ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
All right, back here, Cofield and Company, Ellis Island, front yard, Willie Ramirez, Steve Cofield.
Surprise guest in person, Nick Bogdanovich, the head of Boomer Sportsbook, which is here at Ellis Island. Also, locations around the state in the Vegas area, Casino Valley Verde, another one of my local haunts that I like to go to. So what's going on?
Not a thing. I just came down to check out the Ellis Island revamp. It looks beautiful down here. So come on down and sign up for an account at Boomers at Ellis Island. It's incredible.
I don't think, when you said special guest, I don't think people realize the legend that is upon us here. One of the old school guys.
Old part is right.
Old school, old mentality, and one of the good guys from the from the good old days. I mean, when you bring up guys like Sonny Reisner and Mayday and so on, Nick falls in that line. So we're honored that you're joining us in person, Nick.
Thank you. No, born and raised in Las Vegas, absolutely love Las Vegas. I rave about it all the time. So it's an incredible place and a hidden gem right here, Ellis Island. It's incredible.
Let's start. I mean, being a part of Boomers, and I mean, this bringing some old school flavor to this new sports book, but in an old school joint, you and I, old school vegans, I mean, we remember when Ellis Island was, you know, the weekday spot when the nightclubs were quiet and there were no hotel nightclubs. This was kind of the go-to spot. Tuesday night karaoke, Ellis Island was the hangout, and I remember all the little part-time books that parked their way in here at times. So now you're bringing some old school flavor. Talk about Boomers.
Yeah, no question. My buddies used to come down and do karaoke. They say, we're going to Ellis to do karaoke. So, Ellis has got an incredible tradition, and we got a little book in here. So a lot of people come down here and sign up for accounts. They can lay $1.05 in the NFL sides, and I think it's going to be a good partnership.
It's also very cool that deposit match when you get the app is upwards of $250.
That's correct. You can get $250 in bonus bets depending on how much you deposit. So free money is always good.
Nick Bogdanovich, Boomers, is here with us. All right, well, let's talk about yesterday, and then we'll start looking ahead to tonight and week two around the NFL. First of all, yesterday, not a lot of high-scoring games, so that's generally good for you guys if a lot of the unders are coming in.
Yeah, I mean, the regular Joe gravitates to the over more than the under, but early on, defenses are usually ahead of the offenses, and I think it hurts that nobody plays in preseason. So, I mean, these offenses don't have time to get organized, and defense, you can let the dogs loose. So not a surprise that the defense is a little ahead of the offense right now. But let's face it, the masses love scoring. So they really enjoyed the 41-40 game much better than the previous 11.
I don't overreact to 1 week, but, you know, we knew coming in the Lions were going to be a little different without Ben Johnson, without Aaron Glenn. Do I need to start playing some unders on the Lions? Because that offense, that was not good. Packers defense is good.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it should be panic city for Detroit yet. I think all the weapons are in place. They're missing, obviously, the offensive coordinator, which is big. And the one piece that the center, Ragnow, he retired early because he had health concerns. So that hurts. But I think they'll get it done. They have too much talent. I mean, St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Laporta, Gibbs, Monty, Goff. I mean, they just have too many weapons. The line's still okay. So I don't think, if you're a Detroit Lion fan, don't panic. I think you'll be okay.
That may be true in Detroit, but down in Miami, I think there may be panic mode. Tua, with seventh time in his career, 3-plus touchdowns. I don't know if the McDaniel experiment's working out anymore. I don't know if he's going to last halfway through this season. Your thoughts on the Dolphins?
Yeah, South Beach's got a problem. I think there's a chemistry problem. When Jalen Ramsey was happy to get out of there, let's face it, would you rather live and play in Miami or go to Pittsburgh where it's freezing snow for the last five games of the year? So, yeah, they got a chemistry problem there, and I feel bad if you're a Dolphin fan. I think it's going to be a long season in Miami.
When you look at the complexion of yesterday's games, which team that lost impressed you the most, that came out with the most promise? Where as a bookmaker, but also as a football fan, you're going, okay, this is the team we got to keep an eye on.
I still think Houston's going to be fine. I think the Rams are really good, and the Rams are really well coached, and that was Houston's game to win, and they didn't get it done. But I think they will be okay. I like their defense. I still think, even though Stroud stunk last year, I still think he has upside. Nico got shut down yesterday, but I think Houston is that team.
Did anything surprise you in the Pittsburgh Jets game?
No surprises, but that was a game where we wanted to see, because I've been a Fields fan. I've always had faith in Fields. So, but the question was, can he play at that level? Can he fit in New York? I think he can. And does Aaron still have a little left? Obviously he does. He's very motivated. He stunk it up last year. It was a bad year for him in the Big Apple. I think that hurt his pride. I think he's ready to roll, and he's a year removed from the Achilles. So I think both a slight upgrades on both teams. I think the Jets and Pittsburgh have something positive coming out of week one.
From a local standpoint, Chip Kelly, called a great game, I felt. I thought Geno Smith spread the ball out. A lot of creativity, a lot of targets. I think the running game will come around. I think Gentry's just got to mature. What did you see with the Raiders?
Yeah, let's face it. Getting off 1-0 is really a big deal. Chin up, positive vibes. I mean, Pete Carroll's bringing a new attitude. He's always won wherever he's been. But, you know, let's face it. Bottom line is, if Geno plays good, they got a chance, and he has to play good. I think they have enough weapons. I mean, could they use another receiver? Yeah. I mean, Jacoby's really good. Bauer's really good. Genty's going to be good. They probably could use one more A-level receiver. But the defense, you know, is going to be good. And Carroll brings a winning attitude. So I think I could see a wild card.
We're talking to Nick Bogdanovich from Boomer Sportsbook, brand new sportsbook in here at Ellis Island, also at Casino Valle Verde. You just opened one, I think, last week in what, Carson City?
Yes, Fandango in Carson City. So if you're in the Reno area, sprint over there and get an account. We got a really good product. You know, good teaser prices, 105 in the NFL. Deep menu, so you'll like it. If you sign up for the account, you'll like it. So if you're in the Reno area, head to Fandango, or if here in Las Vegas, Ellis Island and Casino Valle Verde.
We are on right now in Reno, Northern Nevada, so Carson City a little south of Reno. So get on over, get your account. Again, there's a $250 bonus when you deposit up to that $250. They'll match it. Monday Night Football, Vikings Bears. I'm seeing, at least on my board, 67% of the cash, 62% of the tickets on the Bears. I don't know what you guys are seeing, but the number has gone from Vikings being favored to, I think it's a pick 'em, right?
Yeah, we have pick. A little bit of money for the Bears. Interesting game. It's sort of like the Jets-Steelers again. Everyone wants to learn about, is Caleb Williams going to be good under Johnson? And is J.J. McCarthy, can he play at this level? So it's one of those definitely early learning games.
It's a scary game because I've yet to hear anybody really say, I like the Vikings. And I think it's public, and I think it's then when you see what happened with the Lions, it even adds more intrigue. Did all that offensive knowledge go to the Bears? It's from my listening to analysts, reading handicappers, seeing picks, it's pretty one-sided. We know what happens when that happens, Nick.
Yeah, but everything I hear out of Minnesota is great. I mean, they're raving about J.J. They're raving about the team. It's deep. So I think everyone in Minnesota is really, really excited for this, especially the Viking fans down here. But yep. I think Chicago has – man, Chicago's got weapons. I mean, if they can't do it in year two with Caleb and – man, I like the receiving corps as good as any, and I like Swift. So, and the tight end looks like a stud. So they got the weapons, so there's no excuses if they can't get it done.
Check it out, Boomer Sportsbook here at Ellis Island. Come on down the front yard. We got our Monday Night Football party going down in just a little bit. Willie Ramirez is hosting it. We're here every single week with Cofield and Company starting at 3 o'clock. Some of the premium games this week, you get some early action on Eagles and Chiefs. You guys have Eagles 1.
Yeah, that's what we opened it. We haven't moved yet. But what a game, huh? We get KC coming off a loss. I love betting good teams coming off a loss. But they got that travel factor all the way back from Brazil, so you just don't know how that'll hit you. But I have faith in Mahomes that he'll right that ship, even though losing Worthy's a real big piece. But Philly looked, you know, mortal. They didn't look like the dominant team that ran the table at the end of last year. I mean, Dallas played right with them. That was a dead coin flip game. So my gut tells me KC finds a way to win that game.
Packers 3.5 over Washington.
Hell of a game. I can't wait to see Mr. Daniels in that environment. Detroit's high-powered offense went into Lambeau and laid an egg, but I think the Commanders might go in there and upset the Green Bay Packers.
I'm not – I spent the entire training camp and preseason, along with everybody else, bemoaning the entire Saints quarterback room. I don't know how much I'm disappointed in Spencer Rattler, but now news out of Frisco with all these offensive injuries, Kittle's out for a few weeks, Purdy's down, maybe questionable. They go to New Orleans. Frisco's laying, what, 6.5 on the road? I think.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
You guys have 4.5 now.
Yeah. When I was walking out of the room to drive down here, we got that news, and we went from 6.5 to 4.5, and total, I think, went from like 43.5 down to 42, but... Every year, Frisco's decimated with injuries. I've never seen anything like it. What's going on in the Bay Area? So Yeah, that's a big deal. There's quite a bit of drop-off, I think, between Purdy and Mac Jones.
I will admit, as we have about 45 seconds here, I will stick with teams too long and stick with coaches too long. I refuse to overreact. Miami 1.5 against the Patriots, I think, is an overreaction. I think Miami's going to win that game. I think Miami will bounce back and play well.
Yeah, it could be. Let's face it. New England, everyone knew they were going to be a little improved this year, but they were way down, so they got a long way to go and a lot more pieces to get. I think Vrabel will eventually get it done. But Drake May's only in year two, so, yeah, I could see Miami in that spot.
All right, Nick. We appreciate you coming out, hanging out. You're going to be with us on Mondays, every single Monday, and I'm assuming most times in person, but we'll get you on the phone as well. And we're glad to be here. Glad that Boomer's partnered up with us. It's cool. Cool
great
concept.
Great to see you guys, yeah, and what an environment to work in.
I know, right? It's a tough one. Bring over the beers. Bring over the brisket. Let's go. Front Yard, Monday Night Football, Ellis Island, Field and Company on the scene. Halfway point of the show. We're about 10 minutes away from Jesse Merrick checking in on the Raiders.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We're going to deep dive on the Raiders in about 8 minutes with Jesse Merrick from Silver and Black Sports Network. He was out in New England. So Nick Bogdanovich just filling us in on some of the line changes at a Boomer Sportsbook down here. You can also bet over at Casino Valley Verde as they start to populate the market with their true Nevada local sportsbook. Again, pick on the game, and the total is 43.5. There's all these unreal specials, Willie, as we do a abbreviated edition of Boomer's Broadcaster Bites. Yeah. We've been doing Broadcaster Bites forever, but Boomer's behind it. One of the cool promotions here, first of all, when you come in and gamble at Ellis Island, I am sad to say I won't mention the place, but I think it's going to be a big trend. There are places that are getting rid of live blackjack, getting rid of the dealers, and Ellis is committed to having the games and also making them affordable, so you can still play $5 blackjack here. If you play 15 on a hand and you get a suited blackjack, right, you get the match. Not only do you win blackjack at 3-2, which is actually a thing now. I can't believe I have to say that. But you also win a growler of beer. So our buddy Matt Neverett was in here saying hi. He's like, they're not going to be off for a little while, so I'll go play some blackjack. He walked back, had a growler in his hand of the IPA. Like, all right.
And a cash.
Good move.
And some cash.
And some cash. Yeah, I think I'm not going to say how much he won.
No.
Very private. I don't know if he's got
you know,
issues with people. Someone come down and try to break his legs, right? He's not that kind of guy. We have other guys in the sports media who are those kinds of guys. Okay, Broadcaster Bites, if I can say it. We'll get to some food talk later on. Yesterday I went out and about. I don't know if you saw the tweet, but I went out and about for the 1 o'clock games. Got there about 1:15, 1:30, 1:45. I'm looking up, and there's a whole row of TVs at the top of one bar. And they had a lot of TVs around the place. They also had a 4-TV wall. But they had the 4 TVs. All 4 had that holder screen for DirecTV, for Sunday Ticket.
Okay.
No games on. It happens every year in week 1. And at some places, it happens all throughout the season. The bartenders get busy, and they get a little inundated with everything else that's going on, so they don't switch over to the afternoon games. So at 1:52, we finally got all 4 games on. Not the biggest deal, but I will say this place is pretty close to another national sports bar. You got to get the games on.
They
were confused.
Should have been seamless.
A little confusion on the. Like I said, they had a 4-TV wall, and it took a little while to get all 4 games up. But so I wish them luck when there's 8-9 games in the morning, because people get intense when they go out to a sports bar and they want their game.
Absolutely.
And then you paid for Sunday Ticket, and then you don't have the games on. People are like, well, "What is going on here?"
Yeah.
They'll bolt.
Yeah. There. I mean, that's how it's always been. Before Sunday Ticket, you know, before all these services and whatnot. Back in the day, I mean, you show up at a bar, you got
to
have the game.
Well, we're the king of towns when it comes to sports bars, and we have a lot of themed bars where they have a team. But and I expect when you walk into a place like that, 80% of the TVs are going to be on one game, maybe 90, maybe 100%. But if you have the ticket, you should get all the games on. It's a pretty competitive market now, even with the Raiders in town. There aren't a lot of Raiders bars. Most places are not going to have the Raiders on by themselves. You know, on 95, you know, 90%.
And even some of the bars that, like you said, that, you know, if it's a Browns bar, a Bills bar, a Cowboys bar, they're going to have most of the games. But every three TVs, they're at least going to splatter in. If you have that ticket, you're going to want to have.
I will say, I won't name the place, but actually pretty good food. Made a good burger. They did nachos in very unique fashion. I thought the toppings were awesome, so fresh food on that. But there you go. First Broadcaster Bites of the week. We'll have to get to the Allegiant food a little later on. Not a bad showing by the UNLV folks and the staff at Allegiant. Jesse Marek is on the way. Hardcore breakdown of the Raiders.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Every Monday, post-game we check in with Jesse Marek on the Raiders from the Silver and Black Sports Network. And we watched a pretty good one yesterday, Jesse. Raiders go out, win the opener 20-13. Not the prettiest in the first half, but they really came on in the second.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, man. And yeah, look, it was one of those deals where, like, for me, the thing that stood out the most is the fact that they made the halftime adjustments and it looked so different when they came out in the second half. Because, like, over the years, no matter who the coaching staff has been, it just seems like they haven't been able to adjust or they've been so bought into what it is that they're doing that they're not willing to adapt and change. It was very clear that the Raiders were willing and able to do that. You know, specifically on defense, Pete even talked about the fact that Patrick Graham made the adjustments to clear up some rushing lanes for them and make life easier for them, you know, in terms of getting to the quarterback, and it worked. I mean, they were able to shut the Patriots offense out for the most part, except for allowing that late field goal that kind of made it a game. But, you know, through, you know, mostly, what, a quarter and a half, they were playing lights out football on defense and really turned it on and got to Drake May. They pressured him 8 times in the second half alone and had a pair of sacks as well in that time frame. So just really impressed with what I saw out of the staff adjusting and doing whatever the heck it was that they had to do in order to come away with a victory on the road and in a hostile environment. I mean, it was wild there, too.
Let's get some messy stuff out of the way. So what's the deal with Brock Bowers? How did he get hurt, and what does it look like?
Yeah, so that was actually – we were all kind of looking around trying to figure out when he actually heard it. The only thing that stuck out was like a fade ball down the right sideline. Gino threw it up, and he kind of had to jump up and almost like a back shoulder ball, but he leaped for it and caught it. We were thinking maybe that was it. We couldn't really quite figure out. But talking to Pete after the game, you know, he said that Brock wanted to go back in. The training staff said, no, we're going to hold you out. And they were kind of waiting to see how the game played out. And it sounded like they were going to throw him back out there if the game got tight and they really needed him. So with that being the case, I don't think it's going to be something that's an issue long term. Who knows, after you hop on a plane and go back to Vegas, get another look at it, maybe some swelling occurs. But after the game, they didn't make it seem like it was a big deal. Also, Brock was available in the locker room, too. That's not typically something that they have in terms of guys when they're injured and stuff. So I would imagine you don't have to worry about it. The Raiders also have an extra couple of days as well, so they play on Monday Night Football. So I think he'll be good to go.
Raiders needed to test their depth a little bit on defense. Landon Roberts went down. What's his injuries? And Eichenberg stepped in and got some praise from Pete.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. And that, to me, like, I know the linebacker has – it's an interesting group of guys back there in the linebacking core. But I'm not, like, huge on their depth overall as a team, even at linebacker, too. I don't like anybody outside of Jamal Adams in that group, but Eichenberg filled in very well. Now, the thing with Landon, he said it was a dislocated elbow. Mm. We'll see how long that is. I mean, that's a brutal injury. It looked like when he was making the tackle, he kind of threw his arm out, or when he was kind of filling the hole trying to make a tackle in the running game, he threw his arm out there to try and grab the running back, and it looked like Jeremy Chinn, when he came in there, hit his arm and, you know, kind of almost like hyperextended the other way or whatever. But if it's long term, I think Devin White needs to be the Mike linebacker. I mean, he was playing lights out, so I think he's the guy that you could slot in at that spot. But Pete was also very complimentary of Tommy Eichenberg as well. So either guy, it seems like he's happy with them. And again, not an area where I want to see their depth tested, but they have answers that they feel comfortable with in that linebacking core if he's gone, which I think is big. You know, I would have thought, okay, if Landon goes out, you're in big trouble. But Devin White showed that he can still be that guy, that he's kind of been in the past. That was a big step forward for him to be able to do that. I think even confidence-wise as well.
Jesse Marek up on Cofield & Company as we're live here getting ready for Monday night football kickoff in just a little bit at the Front Yard. Come on down. Willie's hosting the party. So we talk about Devin White. You know, his tackles were up there, 11 tackles. I'll tell you, the highest rated PFF defender, and he was in a rotation for 25 snaps. Jamal Adams is really useful. He was pretty good.
Yeah, no, he was. He's a guy that I really like in packages. And I tried to spot him a couple times. Looking back and realizing that he was the highest graded defender, that's surprising to me. Not to say that he didn't make plays, it just didn't pop that much to me live. So I'm real curious once I get an opportunity later tonight to go back and rewatch the game, you know, the All 22, I'm going to really be keeping an eye on him. But I like him so much as a blitzer from that weak linebacker spot. I think Patrick Graham is going to have a lot of fun drawing it up that way. And also, too, just the package when he's in there, when it's a 4-3 linebacker set, it really turns into like a nickel linebacker set because of all the things that he can do. You can trust him in coverage. And again, blitzing, like, good luck for these tackles. Even the guards sometimes trying to get their hands on him because he's a smaller guy and shiftier, you know? So I saw throughout practice, all throughout training camp and everything, how tough he was for the Raiders tackles to deal with. I'm real curious to see when we see him blitz consistently what that really looks like for them. And again, it's such a versatile group, and having a player like him lets them play kind of matchup football. So I'm excited to see what happens going forward for him. But I have been impressed with him, you know, in every bit of action that he's played so far.
Raiders win it against Patriots on the road, pull off the mild upset, win it 20-13. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. While they were able to throw it, they didn't run real well. Ashton Jeanty had 19 carries for 38 yards. His PFF grade was 51, and Pete Carroll explained maybe there was something behind Jeanty and the lack of production.
Yeah, you know, I think he kind of put this one both on Jeanty and the offensive line. He was saying that, you know, Ashton was so juiced up. It's his first NFL game. Obviously, you're going to be fired up for it. And it's easy to make that moment too big, you know. And so reading between the lines of what Pete was saying, I think that's kind of what happened a little bit. He said that he needed to be more patient and kind of had to let things develop. But also on the flip side for the offensive line, he was talking about them just doing better at, like, reading the plays and knowing if and when it's time to come off of those double teams. So I think they were a little fast to move off of guys, and so that's where people were hitting Jeanty a little quicker than you'd like to see. So I'm real curious to see what it looks like game two against the Chargers. Have they built a little bit more continuity? Does Ashton look a little more comfortable making his reads? You know, I think it started off very well in the first quarter, you know, when the lanes were there, when he could actually see the whole clear vision of the field in front of him. Really liked the reads that he made, the way he stuck his foot in the ground and just kind of went north and south. Again, it was just when he's getting hit, right, he's getting the ball. I mean, nobody's going to have success like that, you know, and we've seen that over the last probably year and a half or so with the Raiders. Now let's see what it looks like week two. Nice, at least it's a mental thing, because if you look at Jeanty's run, his touchdown run when he scored, great blocking if you go back and watch it again. From Jordan Meredith to center, he does a great job chipping on Dylan Parham's guy, and then he actually finds Robert Spillane, who was filling the hole, and kicks him out. And then Jackson Powers Johnson got his hands on Christian Barmore and just manhandled him. So, like, there's glimpses. You see glimpses of it. It's just going to be consistency. And, you know, there's some new pieces along the offensive line and some young guys that are learning how to work together in this new scheme. So I think another week we'll see them definitely take a step forward for sure.
You know, there's been some questions, and we're talking to Jesse Marek, Silver and Black Sports Network, about the wide receiving core. That's from outside the market. Questions inside the market. Well, one, Bowers essentially is a receiver. He was spectacular. I think the 38-yard catch, I saw the whatever the miles per hour thing is. I think he was running like 20.27 miles an hour. That's ridiculous. But the receivers really ate all game. Geno Smith was really productive. And I know you liked Jacoby Myers, as you put it. He's eating off those quick curls, on those quick curls off the vertical stem.
Yeah. You know, one thing that struck me, and I'm going to get to Jacoby on this, but when we talked to Alex Bachman in training camp, he said one of the things that he likes about this Raiders offense and this Chikele offense is that it gives you a lot of freedom as a receiver to kind of put your own flair, your own flavor on these routes. And I think we're seeing that with Jacoby, particularly with those curls off the vertical stem. He's able to threaten deep. And I think it's a read between him and Geno. I don't think it's like, hey, you got to turn around and stop here. I think it's more of like a feel the zone and figure out where you're going to be able to stick that foot in the ground and beat these guys after you've got them to turn their hips or something like that, you know? So I think that is a feel between the two of them and just constantly working and being on the same page. And so that, to me, was something that really stood out when we were watching it live. Again, that's another thing where I'm excited to go back and watch that and see how that developed, maybe on some other routes other than the vertical stems. But that really stood out to me just in the play-action passing game, the two of them working together off of that. you know, that's where I thought we really saw Jacoby's game shine. And he is such a headsy player, you know, so those are those situations where I think he's really going to thrive.
Let's go back to the defense and talk about the back end. So the cornerbacks graded out okay. I mean, overall numbers, Drake May, 30-46, 287, touchdown and interception. His QBR was pretty dreadful at 39.5. But the cornerbacks themselves did allow, I think it was 16 of 20 in terms of completion. So how do you read Stokes and Holmes and KBK?
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of those things where it's like you look at the stats and you're like, didn't really have a great game. But then you go back and watch it, and, like, the eye test probably tells you that they play better than the stats will say, you know? Caillou Bukele in particular, you know, to me, really flashed. He's just such an awesome story. We talked about him last time I was on. You know, a Vegas kid working his way up the depth chart, you know, being cut by multiple teams, gets this opportunity, and then has really grabbed hold of it and impressed the coaching staff. And in this game, you know, he gets called to the PI on that fourth down to Mac Hollins. Anybody with eyes knows that was not P.I. Pete was adamant about it today when we spoke to him. Even Kai, after the game, you could tell we were like, it was Adam Hill that was talking to him. And he was like, I don't want to get you fined, so I don't want you to, like, really comment on it. But you could tell reading between it, he was probably like, yeah, there's no way that was P.I. either, you know? And so I was really impressed with him. He's just shown that he's competing in every sense of the word, which I know is so cliche to, like, throw that word out there. But I think in this instance, especially at corner two, like, you got to be a bit of a psycho to play the position. And he just has the right mindset, the right fit for it. And on top of that, like, he also isn't afraid to throw his body in there and make a tackle. And that's something we haven't really been able to say about a Raiders corner on the edge for a while. You know, there's been a lot of guys in the past where it's like, they're just not the most willing tacklers. They'll go out there and do it. But, like, this guy is literally throwing his body around and he is trying to, like, hit people. You know, and that makes it kind of fun to watch a dude like him play the game that way. And Eric Stokes, even, I thought he had some moments too. You know, I think we're going to see teams will test Stokes, obviously. I don't think they have any corners that, like, scares people, but I think we're going to see them test Caillou Bukele more. And if he keeps, you know, coming through like he did, then we'll see Eric Stokes get more work.
Jesse Merrick is with us. Jesse, tell the audience about Silver and Black Sports Network, what they can get up there, and especially subscribing.
Yeah, definitely. So check us out on silverandblacksportsnetwork.com. You know, that's where you can actually subscribe to our newsletters. We have newsletters dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. $6 a month will get you access to all of that. We're also going to be rolling out much more stuff. We're building a really cool community where you're going to have a lot more access to me in terms of Q&As and things like that, and just trying to make it as valuable as possible for everyone that does subscribe. But if you want to do just the free version, it's a great way to support and get some great news as well every Friday. That's what we'll get you the access to on that one. But also check us out on YouTube. That's a completely free way to absorb all of our content. We've got podcasts dropping after every single game, and then also on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. Tomorrow, we're actually bringing on Kirk Morrison, former Raiders linebacker, who's currently actually the radio analyst for the Raiders. I talked to him early on in training camp, and he was awesome. One of the best podcasts we've done. Obviously, his mind for football is off the charts, so I'm really excited to get his take on what he saw out there, specifically from the defense in the second half.
Less than a minute left. Let's talk D-line between Crosby, Booker, Butler, Kuntz. They had 21 pressures. The line actually was responsible for 3 sacks. I mean, that was a good opening game for the D-line.
Yeah, I mean, look, so just rattling off all of them, 7 different guys in terms of D-linemen that notched pressure statistics like that. Pretty impressive. I had been screaming it from the mountaintops that these guys were going to have a really deep group and that a lot of the guys were going to be rotating in and being a factor. And you go and look through that, and all of them were, you know, at different points throughout the game, you know. So that's been the biggest thing is, like, who – it's Max Crosby and everybody else. Well, now everybody else seems like they're going to be stepping up, you know. And if they can do that consistently, it's going to be a game changer for the guys on the back end of this defense. So I was really impressed with what I saw from them, again, especially in the second half where they had 8 pressures and 2 sacks alone. You know, they really made life tough on Drake May, even in the run game as well. You know, we saw Devin White doing all that stuff. Well, that doesn't happen if the you know, if the D-line's not taking care of things and plugging some holes. So really impressed with them. And I think the Raiders now do have a making of a very deep defensive line that's going to be a total game changer for, you know, the guys behind them.
Jesse, great job. Safe travels, and we'll see you back here in town.
Yeah, thanks. Can't wait, man. We'll see you next week talking Chargers.
There he is, Jesse Merrick from Silver and Black Sports Network. 5 o'clock hour is on the way right here on Cofield and Company. Come on down. The game's going to kick off. We're live inside Ellis Island at the front yard. It's Cofield and Company. We're about 25 minutes away from more Raiders Breakdown and UNLV with Caleb Herring.